Welcome to Whack Brackets, the podcast that fully embraces putting the bomb in the bomb shabam shabam, but vehemently denies putting the ram and the ram-a-lama ding dong. I am Mike, and I have a great podcast co-host today. He is a mustache stan, and he has probably the coolest name of a podcast I've ever seen. And his name is Daniel, and he is from the Mustachioed Podcastio, which I have no idea how you come up with that name, but I'm going to introduce you and let you talk about your podcast. So take it away, Daniel.
Well, if you drink enough whiskey on a Saturday night, you're bound to come up with a pretty good podcast name. And that's kind of how it worked out for me. I am Daniel Segura from the Mustachioed Podcastio. Fairly young podcast, but you know, we got about 10 episodes in the bucket and had a good time doing it. And I'm so glad that you found me, man. I'm glad you somehow found me, and I'm happy to be on this podcast.
You know, I try to look around for podcasts that look fun. I'm not a serious guy. You've probably known that. We've been talking for a few minutes before this. So he can confirm that I'm not Mr. Button Down from this podcast when it goes off the air. I'm an idiot full time.
He doesn't even have a shirt on.
No, I don't. I've got my hairy chest. It's actually, I don't even have hair. I've got that really fine chest hair, kind of like that old man redneck hair that you see when some guy's running around with a mullet and no shirt on. That's the kind of body hair I got. So I'm not going to abuse him with that. I'm fully clothed, and I promise that I won't send any pictures to Instagram of my naked chest anytime soon. But tell me a little bit about your podcast. What's it about?
Yeah, man. It's kind of a celebration of mustachioed actors, these legendary actors, and not necessarily always. You know, you got your really famous ones. You got your Burt Reynolds, you got your Chuck Norris's, your Charles Bronson's, which are super fun to talk about. Every now and then, have you ever seen a movie where there's just some guy that's in a scene and he has the most legendary mustache you've ever seen? I'm going to talk about that guy. I don't care if he's not the star of the movie. So it's a really fun podcast. It's kind of like an audiobook for movies. And I go through there. I invite friends. Sometimes I'm alone and I call those solo cholos. And we talk about the movie. It's a good time. I love it.
Yeah, I've checked out a couple of episodes. They're a lot of fun. And we're going to be covering a couple of the guys you've mentioned in previous podcasts for sure. Yeah, I guess we'll just I forgot before I move on. You can explain what a whack bracket is to my audience. Yeah, if not, yeah. I can explain it. It's up to you.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so generally what happens here is we pick a theme and we pit 8 random competitors to bracket off against one another, in this case, mustachioed legends. From there, we bracket them off so they can face off against each other. Winners will be decided in accordance to some top-notch, highly thought-out questions that our host Mike will be presenting. For instance, say the topic is 90s toy characters, and the first round is which one of these toys would fondle themselves in a public park? Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles or Big Slamu from the Street Sharks? Now, pizza is Mike's true pleasure, and Big Slamu is a killer whale, which are known to go into sexually charged predatory rages. So Big Slamu it is.
Yeah, I'm thinking he probably would, too, because he's probably his fin is wet. It's going to be hard to reach for him. Michelangelo has the advantage there. But since he's already kind of got the wet lubrication, now if Michelangelo's been eating pizza, all bets are off. And I'm going to agree with you on Slamu. I mean,
if you're feeling sexually charged enough, you don't even got to touch it. So
that's true. Just get all hot and bothered. You know, I can do that. I can do that watching QVC. It's great.
So let me tell you that this episode will be very tough for me. I love all the people, these mustachioed legends that we're going to be covering in this episode. I love them all, and it's going to be really tough to have them face each other. But you know what? I'm ready for the task, man. Make some tough decisions.
That's right. So I'm very happy that you're willing to do that with me. So we're going to move on to this first question. And before I tell you the question, I have to give a shout out to my boys at the Center Cut. I posted a picture of Danny Trejo, who is in this round. And I gave some hints as to who he might be competing, and Michael nailed it. So Michael and the Center Cut get a shout out. They probably get one anyway.
Congratulations.
Those guys are nuts. But to shut up and actually move on to this podcast, because I'll talk all day. Better Mortal Kombat character, would it be Danny Trejo from Machete, or would it be the man, the myth, the legend, Chuck Norris from Missing in Action?
Oh, you know, I've listened to a few episodes of your show, and I think this is maybe the toughest question to kick off on any of the shows that you've had. So I like that you it's I'm taking it as a sign of respect that you feel I could handle a question of this caliber. Now, I got a couple of reasons. Can I go first? Am I going first?
Of course. No, you, the guest almost always goes first unless you want you tell me, hey, you go first. So the guest is always right in this show.
Awesome.
Unless we disagree, and then I'll have a discussion about sometimes why the guest might not be right. But go ahead.
No problem. So I got a couple of reasons why I'm picking the mustachioed legend that I'm picking. Mm-hmm. So now Chuck Norris is one of the most renowned mustachioed actors, like you were saying. The dude is unstoppable. His memes are unstoppable. But you know what? Maybe that has made him absolutely overpowered for something like Mortal Kombat. You know, he'd probably have some sort of one-punch kill or something like that. And that's not very fun, you know? I mean, he does have some quips, but for the most part, I love the guy. But he's a little bland. Now, Danny Trejo in Mortal Kombat would be something special. He's got tons of quips. He's got a weapon that everyone knows that he uses it, that machete. You know, he uses guns as well. So you got some extra secondary weapons that he could use. And also, if I think back, obviously, me being a 90s kid, which I've made apparently very obvious quickly. If I was in fifth grade playing Mortal Kombat, I would have been so freaking happy to see some awesome Latino vato with a mustache just like throwing a machete at someone's face. Like, I would have picked that guy all the time. So I gotta go with Danny Trejo.
Okay, well, the good news is we're going to 100% agree on this. It's actually going to be hard for me to give Chuck Norris a run. I know you love him, but Chuck Norris to me just looks like some swolled up guy at a redneck barbecue. He's going to come in, he's all hairy, he's too swole, he wears a bandana on the front of the Missing in Action. There's a lot to deal with this guy. And I just don't find, as you said, he would probably be overpowered to begin with. I don't find him to be very interesting in a video game. You would probably use him against your friends because he would be overpowering. But if you were trying to play the game correctly, you're not going to use him because there's no fun in that. That being said, Danny Trejo for a lot of reasons. And first off, I didn't know this. I looked this up. Danny Trejo is only 5'6". He gives the impression he's ginormous. The guy is only 5'6".
Yeah.
He looks like a badass. He's got tattoos out the ass. His vest is machetes all over the motherfucker. He's got the flowing locks. And you wouldn't want anything to do with Danny Trejo in a dark alley. You might look at Chuck Norris and go, look at this redneck. Now, that would be a huge mistake, mind you. But when you see Danny Trejo, he's going to scare the shit out of you. And not only that, like you said, he would just pop on screen, I think, as a Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah.
And the machete, it comes back to him. It becomes this whole cool weapon. And yeah, so I totally agree with you. 100% Danny Trejo. That said, and I didn't know this, the Danny Trejo character in Machete was actually in Spy Kids as the uncle.
Yes, yes.
I had no idea about that. I'd never seen Spy Kids, and I looked it up. I was like, shit, that's the coolest thing I've ever read. He's like an uncle in another movie. Yeah. And I think he's actually really loving in these movies.
He is, yeah. He's a super like loving, warm character, which is so cool because I grew up kind of the same way. Like all my uncles kind of had that look, you know, rough face, just kind of scary guys, but they're all kind of gentle dudes, like super nice guys, you know. So yeah, it's just something about Danny Trejo. And I actually have met him in real life.
Really?
I'm from San Antonio, and I was visiting Austin for a bit, and I saw him at the hotel, and we had like a 5-minute conversation just walking around, and he was a super, super cool cat, man.
Really?
Yeah, so I really, and you know what? He also has a really good taco chain out here in LA, and I could already see like a friendship on Mortal Kombat where he just gives him a taco or something.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I like to try to give an argument, but this is not one I've got any arguments for because I find Danny Trejo to be on screen, one of the baddest dudes to live. I just think he just oozes something the guys don't. And I just think it would really come through in Mortal Kombat. So I'm 100% with you on this.
All right.
Book it. We've got Danny Trejo. Yeah, book him. We'll move on to the next question. And this one's an interesting one. And I know who I'm going to pick out to shoot. We'll see if we agree or disagree.
Okay.
Who would win in a gun duel? Would it be Yosemite Sam? Or would it be Sam Elliott's character from The Big Lebowski?
All right. Now, I've probably seen, and I know The Big Lebowski is like this legendary film, and I maybe seen it twice, and I remember liking it. And I know that he sort of has like a bit part in that movie. He's not like a really huge part of it, but the parts that he has are just absolutely captivating because it's Sam Elliott and he's awesome as hell, which he also does have an episode in the Mustachio Podcastio. It's the the one with the man who killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to change to that, I've never seen that movie, but I can go with the one and you go with the other. Whatever you want to do, all bets are off on this podcast. So if you pick
that movie, you got to check it out. It throws you for a loop because the name is absolutely comic book ridiculous, but the movie is so genuinely heartfelt.
Okay.
It's interesting. But
so does he actually kill the Bigfoot and the Hitler in the movie, or do you want to spoil that for us?
Oh, yeah, no. The title spoiled it.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it was one of those shows that throws you the curveball at the end, and you're like, no, he didn't kill Hitler. Come to find out, he was in cahoots with Hitler the whole time. You know, I hate movies that do that. There's got to be a big surprise twist at the end. So I'm glad that it just comes out and wears on its sleeve exactly what it's going to do. I am going to kill not only Bigfoot, but also Hitler.
We were kind of hoping that, because my friend Bobby from the Grind Bin was on that show, and we were kind of hoping that Bigfoot was just a neo-Nazi.
Oh, shit. That would be some dangerous next-level bullshit there.
But anyway, so Sam Elliott is awesome in that. He's just – and honestly, he kind of carries that same charisma no matter what kind of movie he's in. So that's kind of the magic of Sam Elliott. And I like the idea of pitting these two guys against each other because one is stoic and only speaks when he actually needs to speak. And Yosemite Sam never shuts the fuck up. So you have two very different characters facing each other. And I think that's kind of the major issue here is the fact that Yosemite Sam, he's distracted. You know, he's always trying to impress people. He has anger issues. And you have this guy who's just extremely peaceful within his own mind. He's lived through a bunch of stuff. He's seen some shit. So there ain't nothing that's going to freak him out. He's going to be nice and calm. So I obviously, Sam Elliott, I don't think he kills Yosemite Sam. I think he hits him in the shoulder and he goes, better luck next time. And then walks away.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys that have the coolest voice ever.
Oh, yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, the two people I can think of that literally their voices sound like they've been soaked in a bourbon barrel for 200 years are Sam Elliott and Dennis Haysbert from the Allstate commercials. Those guys have the coolest damn voice ever.
They do.
I could listen to those guys talk all day. They could read a vacuum manual, and I would listen to those guys. It just doesn't matter. That being said, off topic again, because that's what I do. As you said, this guy looks like he's lived through shit. He's calm. He's collected. He's got a little bit, you can tell there's something else going on because he even mentions that he would never brand himself as the dude has. He finds that a little distracting. He even really likes the dude because he's a man for the place or whatever. He gets behind the dude, but there's a little bit of angst, you can tell. So Sam Elliott, as the stranger, I think is what they refer to him, he's got a little something going on under that surface. Now, the one disagreement I would have, I think he may kill Yosemite Sam. And if he doesn't kill Yosemite Sam, here's the thing. How many times have you seen Yosemite Sam shoot a gun?
I've seen him a couple times.
Yeah, he shoots, all, he the shoots time. All the time. Does he ever hit anything?
No.
No.
No, he doesn't.
So he might be better off not even shooting Yosemite Sam and let Yosemite Sam shoot his infinite bullets at whatever. And where the hell are those bullets going? You know, there's Porky Pig's probably in the dining room bleeding out from some random gunshot wound because Yosemite Sam can't hit the backside of a barn. So even if Sam Elliott doesn't shoot, he doesn't lose.
Yeah.
And if he shoots him in the shoulder, it might actually improve his aim. I have no idea. So I still think Sam Elliott's character in The Big Lebowski, he's definitely got that underlying Western. The guy's seen shit. He's done shit, even though you might not know it. He just don't go around bragging about it. And Yosemite Sam, he's really has one of the most gorgeous mustaches in history.
Oh,
but
yes.
In this round, I just don't think he advances. I do agree.
And
I am Sam Elliott.
I am sort of seeing it now that they're having their duel. You know, they're walking away from each other. Yosemite Sam's up to like Sam Elliott's knee because he's pretty short. And they're walking away. They turn around. And Yosemite Sam shoots all these bullets, and there's just a bunch of dead Looney Tunes characters behind Sam Elliott because he completely missed them, and then Sam Elliott just shoots them. Yeah, totally.
Yes.
Makes sense.
I think that would be so awesome to see in a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Forget the next Space Jam. Like, a gun duel is what they need. They need Yosemite Sam against Sam Elliott.
Let's do a Western Looney Tunes Space Jam, but instead of, like, basketball, it's gun duels.
Yeah.
You could have all the guys from Deadwood. I don't know if you've seen the show Deadwood.
Yeah, I love
Deadwood. Deadwood's awesome. So yeah, you got the Deadwood guys. You got Timothy Olyphant, who I almost put on this list because his mustache in there is glorious. Regardless of that, I wasn't sure if he brandishes the mustache enough to be considered a next level mustache guy.
I think I'd still honor him just because I actually think he's a cool dude in real life. So like,
yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah. He's almost too good looking to be that cool.
Yeah, there's two guys. It's like I told you about the bourbon-soaked actors that I could listen to all day. There's two guys that I have a huge man crush on. One of them is Timothy Olyphant, who is just a good-looking fucker. And then the second one is Idris Elba, who is, you don't get two better-looking men than that. They would look good in anything.
Yeah, if Idris Elba comes up to you at a bar, you start questioning yourself. You're just
God damn it. Like, is he gonna roll me in the alley and take all my money? Because he's not interested in me. I mean, I'm willing, but I know that he's not gonna have anything to do with this package.
Like, I'm not one to get starstruck or anything like that. That's not my thing. But if I ever saw him face to face, it might appear that I am because I would be lost in the eyes.
No, I would be right there with you. He could rob both of us in the alley because, he wouldn't even have to rob me. He'd be like, give me your money. I'd be like, here, take whatever's in my wallet.
I'm glad we've agreed on the first two. I like that.
We have. This happens like this sometimes. Sometimes we'll disagree. We tend to disagree more when I get three people on. When I get two people on, surprisingly, and historically, we haven't disagreed a lot. Well, so I don't know why.
We still got some game left. Let's see.
Oh, we do have game left. And this third one, if you pick the one guy, I'm definitely coming in hot on the other guy because, I think you're going to be wrong on this. I think you're going to be right. I think you'll make the right decision. But if you challenge me, we're going to at least have an argument.
Okay.
So who would make a better stepdad, Charles Bronson from Death Wish or Carl Weathers from Rocky?
I love this one. Who knows?
Oh, you want me to go first? I'll tell you, I know.
Oh, yeah, no, I was waiting for you to go.
Oh, okay. I was going to be like, I know this one.
Go, yeah.
It's definitely Carl Weathers for several reasons. First off, even though he's arrogant at the beginning of Rocky, he turns really fatherly actually towards Rocky and really pushes him and makes sure that don't give up. Never give up. He even loses his life to Apollo Creed. And Carl Weathers made that outfit as ridiculous as that hat and the USA shorts. He looked bad as shit in that. The man is awesome. And let's not even talk about how cool he looks with the gray beard and mustache and Happy Gilmore. He's an awesome looking dude. And he just grows this great facial hair. Charles Bronson admittedly has one of the more iconic mustaches, but Death Wish. Okay. Mm-hmm. Second Death Wish, daughter dies. Fourth Death Wish, stepdaughter dies of a drug overdose. Creed's son obviously goes on to be, I think, a world champion at some point. And not only that, Charles Bronson, he was an architect before, and now he's this utter badass for some unknown reason. He's going to go out and avenge people. It's like, you know what? Maybe you should have taken a more interest in your family until something really bad happened to them, you fucking workaholic. So that's my opinion. I'm going with Carl Weathers and Rocky.
Okay. Look, Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers, love that character. One of the most memorable characters in movie history. I have never liked the showboating stepdad. I've had friends that had these jock-like stepdads that when they come into the house, I never had a stepdad, but it seemed kind of cool sometimes because you get the extra gifts and stuff, but still, I've had some friends that had that kind of dad that come into the household. They were an athlete when they were younger, or they're an athlete now. And now they're expecting you to fill those shoes and they put a ton of pressure on you. And at the same time, if you think about Carl Weathers and Rocky, this guy isn't thinking about anyone else but himself. He might be one of the most selfish characters in the whole Rocky universe because all he cared about was winning. All he cared about was trying to keep up this reputation that he had of this like cocky demeanor, which now has honestly created the same type of like that same kind of energy, that same kind of grandstanding energy is something that people think about when they think about America outside of America. That's what they think about. So I don't think it's the greatest representation, but this guy's coming out in full red, white, and blue. He's Mr. he's coming out like Mr. America. He's walking around, he's marching around. And guess what his stepson is doing? He's all alone in his bedroom watching his dad get in a fight and eventually die
for that rage.
and fucking die. He dies. And that's that. It sucks, man. Like that. I know Rocky IV is just basically 90% montages, but I absolutely love that movie. And it hurt. Absolutely hurt when we lost Apollo Creed. But
when the towel hits just as he's dying.
And this is just for the debate. I don't want y'all to think I'm hating on Carl Weathers. I fucking love Carl Weathers. But I think Charles Bronson would be the better stepdad because, you know, you mentioned that, oh, he was an architect. No, he remains an architect. He's like a superhero in that sense that he actually stays being an architect as sort of a cover up to make him look like he's like a normal guy who's not crazy. And at night is when he goes and does his vigilante stuff. But it's like a part-time gig, that side gig of vigilanteism. You know, it's only when things start getting a little messy around him that he needs to step up and take care of shit in his neighborhood, right? But other than that, he's making that architect money. He's making all that money. He's taking his stepkids to vacations because we only see when the shit pops off. We don't see all that time in between when they're having this wonderful time and taking them to the Bahamas and Death Wish 2. So his daughter does get raped, but she doesn't die in Death Wish 1. She actually is just kind of messed up from the whole situation, obviously. And she's not really speaking, but, you know, he takes her to the park. He buys her some ice cream.
That's true. But she does die in Death Wish 2, right?
She kills herself.
Oh, see? Shit.
That's not his fault. I mean,
No, that's not his. Well, apparently he wasn't doing enough to please her.
he was trying his best, you know, and it's just one of those circumstances, you know, he tried his best to be as good of a father
You're
as he
right.
could. And he would kind of bring people in. It's famous in Death Wish 4. He has this new girl that he's dating and there's a part where they're sitting on the couch and he mentions, I forget, I think her name was Erica. He's like, Erica's like a daughter to me. You know, I can't do a Charles Bronson voice, but Erica's like, I can't do it. but he's like, Erica's like a daughter to me. And then his girlfriend says, you know, it's been a year. He goes, all right, I know what you're trying to say. You want a commitment. It's so good. But you know, he really did care about Erica, and yes, she dies in that movie as well.
But history doesn't show him in the best light as a father figure is all I'm saying.
I think it's kind of like being a superhero. The people that you care about and love most are always going to be in danger, and that's unfortunate that it's that way. But in his
but they're
heart,
not hunting him down because he's a vigilante. It's just this is happening on the side. If you die because you're Spider-Man's girlfriend. You died usually because you're Spider-Man's girlfriend. This death is happening all around him. Even if he's not a vigilante, this death is happening.
He's a product of his environment in the sense of he needs to react to that environment that is putting his kids in danger. And he's trying to his hardest to intervene and get them in the right path because he told it. He let Erica know, like, hey, and Erica was trying to be an architect in Death Wish 4, you know, and he's mentoring her and telling her that's not a very good design, but you're getting there. And, you know, he's trying his best, but she goes out and parties and overdoses in that movie. And then he avenges that death and ends up knocking out an entire drug ring. So, like, it's kind of awesome. You know,
how many people does he kill in these movies? So eventually he's going to get caught. You don't want your stepdad in jail. He can't do you any good behind bars.
I want to say Death Wish 4 might have the highest death count because Death Wish 5 he does kill a lot of people because it gets more and more extreme obviously as he gets older. He's like 66 years old in Death Wish 4 and he's still like he does like one punch and the guy flies like 50 feet or something. But I just would love Charles Bronson to be my stepdad. I don't care if it means I die. At least he's my stepdad for like a solid year.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I'm still going to disagree with you, but the good news is for this is that the first disagreement, you get to pick the winner. So if you still think that it's Charles Bronson advances. But that means the next disagreement, I get to pick the winner.
Rest in peace, Apollo Creed.
Okay. he lives in America, 6 feet in the ground in America, but he lives in America, or he died in America.
Yeah, I hope he still has that top hat on.
Yeah, that would probably cost extra to bury him in the top hat because you probably have to get like an extra long coffin.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my guess.
Oh, that's good stuff.
All right. So with that said, we finally had an agreement. I was afraid we might eventually. That's okay. Again, I don't take any of this personally. This is all just a debate. This is not a fight.
No. But I do I do like things to get tense, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, as David Letterman used to say when David Letterman was actually a good late night host, this is not a competition. This is only an exhibition. Please, no wagering.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's old school David Letterman from the 80s, I believe.
So. I love that.
Yeah, see, I'm old enough to remember that. So we'll move on to round four, however, as Charles Bronson knocks out my man Apollo Creed / Carl Weathers from Rocky fame. And this one, we're going to have to include another cartoon character because they have some of the most glorious mustaches. But before we include him, I will tell you the question, and I will tell you the other competitor. This question is, more likely to keep a personal diary, would it be Burt Reynolds from Smokey and the Bandit, or would it be Ned Flanders from The Simpsons?
All right. So I think, you know, I love Ned Flanders. They're both these people, like Ned Flanders is just so legendary. You know, once again, perfect 90s kid selection right here. And you got Burt Reynolds, who I didn't get to really enjoy him until he was much older. But then I went back and I've seen a lot of those movies. And he actually also has, we covered Boogie Nights on my podcast, mm-hmm. but I haven't done any of his like 60s, 70s stuff. So I really like that we're looking at Smokey and the Bandit Burt Reynolds. And here's the thing with this one. I think they're are both pretty likely to have a diary of some sort. I think Flanders mm-hmm. probably has a diary where he lists his sins for the day and cries over the pages. And I think Reynolds has a diary where he lists the ladies he made sweet, sweet, sweet love to for the day. And you know what? He definitely doesn't call it a diary, though. I guarantee you, Reynolds from Smokey and the Bandit has a like a personal journal that he kind of, you know, he kind of keeps it closed with like, I don't know, like a little knife and... that he ties around like a leather band or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the dude is a true adventurer. You know, he's a race car driver. He has a full network of people that he speaks to over CB radio. He spends every day being a badass. And at night, I think he settles in. He kind of gets in touch with himself and he writes some personal thoughts in a journal. So I'm going to go with Burt Reynolds from Smokey and the Bandit.
All right. Well, I may have to disagree with you. I will at least discuss why I'm going to disagree with you, but I may change my mind. I've been known to change my mind when we talk. Yeah. So first off, as you said, with Ned Flanders, he's going to be writing down Bible quotes. He's going to write beautiful things he sees in nature. He's going to be writing poems to his wife. And he's just an all-around good dude. He's a little – I'm going to try to word this politely – he's definitely effeminate to a degree, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, but he's definitely not the most manly of men, and I could see this being very near and dear to his heart. So I'm probably going to get hate mail for that.
Nah.
That being said, Burt Reynolds, I'm not sure that he keeps a personal diary. I'm 100% sure he keeps a personal calendar because this guy is doing illegal shit all the time. He's running across, trying to run Coors across state lines. I still don't understand why people need Coors beer in other states. Any self-respecting alcoholic would pour Coors down the drain before they tried to try to end up in jail running this across state lines. So, but he's willing to do that shit. He's going to have to keep all this in order, especially since suddenly he has a woman, or Buford T. Justice's son's girlfriend, who's just all of a sudden just like, I'm going to jump in the car with you. It's like, okay, well, that sounds like a piss poor decision, but whatever, you go right ahead. And he's doing illegal shit, and that's fine. And then at the end of the movie, they agree to do more illegal shit. So he's got to keep the calendar. I'm not sure that he has enough time even to keep a personal diary. I think he's so busy doing weird, whacked out shit, trying to make money or whatever he's doing to get his rocks off. I don't really know. I don't see him caring as much about keeping the dialogue of the women to him. Burt Reynolds, especially 70s and 80s Burt Reynolds, hella good looking man. He's just knocking them down. You're lining him up, he's knocking them down. You don't have a personal diary big enough to keep all of Burt Reynolds' conquests. We're talking like Wilt Chamberlain, Gene Simmons level.
Yeah.
Especially he's running across country, man. He ain't got time for that stuff.
You know what? Yeah, I agree with you because, like I said, I think they both would have something. But obviously, I think Ned Flanders, he would call it his personal diary.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
And I wonder if when he's writing in it, if he also like says like okely dokely and shit like that.
I'm sure he does. Have you heard there is a metal band? I think they're named Okely Dokely.
Oh,
a metal band that all dresses up like Ned Flanders and sings Simpson song stuff.
No, I have not. Not 100% sure if I'm going to follow up on that one.
You should. You should. It's not something you'd listen to more than once, but it's a worthy enough listen to see. I think it's like grindcore death metal. It's not even just like hair metal. It's pretty intense stuff. They're actually not a bad band.
Yeah, I like
they
grindcore.
Played right outside of Nashville.
Yeah, check it out.
Give it a shot. Yeah, at least it's something different to do. So, but that being said, I think we both agree Ned Flanders is going to advance to the next round here.
Ned Flanders, man.
So, yeah, so I think we're going to recap. I think we're at the end of the first round. So to recap quickly, better Mortal Kombat character, we had Danny Trejo surprisingly knocking out Chuck Norris. As far as winning in a gun duel, we had Yosemite Sam losing to Sam Elliott. Better stepdad, that would be Charles Bronson, much to my chagrin, over Apollo Creed. And finally, more likely to keep a personal diary, that would be Mr. Ned Flanders from The Simpsons over Burt Reynolds. So let's move on to the second round. And this is a question that I think I know the answer I'm going to pick, but it's just a weird question. Because that's the way this works sometimes. Better to be stuck on Naked and Afraid With, would that be Sam Elliott's character from The Big Lebowski, or would that be Danny Trejo from Machete?
You want me to start off with this one?
Sure.
This is completely, give it a shot. I think that's what I like about this round, the second round, is that now you haven't really had a time to really let this brew. You know, I'm thinking about this right now. And because I wanted to try to avoid trying to think about what's this going to end up like. I really like kind of just seeing this right now at this moment and thinking about what it might be. And what I'm doing is talking and wasting time so that way I can think.
I do that all the time. Go right ahead.
I am going to say, oh, gosh, I got to go. I got to go Sam Elliott on this one. You know, I think I think you want somebody who's calm. Because it's a stressful situation when you're naked and afraid, you're out in the wilderness. Usually, they put them out like in some either tropical or humid or hot deserty climate. So you know, either way, it's gonna suck. You know, weather wise, you need somebody that has had some experiences. You know, Danny Trejo's awesome. If it was Naked and Afraid, downtown Detroit, I would go with Danny Trejo because I want to roll with that dude. And if we're butt naked out in downtown Detroit, I'm going to roll with Danny Trejo because no one's going to fuck with us. But if I'm out in the desert and I'm out, you know, in the Wild West, I want to be butt naked with Sam Elliott. I want to be able to walk around. I want to hear his calming voice of, hey, Daniel, it's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're going to find some berries. And, you know, we'll walk around. We'll find some water. He'll tell me stories, which will keep me captivated so we can get the time going and find something to do because we'll probably be super bored. You know, I got to go Sam Elliott.
You gave a better argument than I would have for Sam Elliott. I'm still not 100% sure, and I'll tell you why. Is Danny Trejo, he was a former federale in Machete. He's also on Spy Kids. So this guy, I'm sure he has a lot of next level training for these kind of situations. He also is very good with machetes, obviously, but which implies, even though he's good with guns as well, he doesn't necessarily need the best firearm to be dangerous at what he does. And I'm pretty sure he could kill a man with his bare hands if he had to. So if a lion rolls up on you, I fear for the lion's safety because he's breaking that lion's neck right there on the show. So I still lean Danny Trejo. You made a good case for Sam Elliott on Naked and Afraid, being that he would definitely be a calming voice. I would be freaked out by the situation. I don't think Sam Elliott would be at all. I could see Danny Trejo being like yelling at me for being such a wimp. I don't think Sam Elliott does that. I think Sam's like, it's okay that you're naked and afraid. But even though Sam Elliott would not be afraid, but neither would Danny Trejo. So
yeah, and I feel like, and you know what, if I'm thinking about it, in terms of The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot, when I don't want to spoil anything too crazy, but when he does go out to find the Bigfoot, there's this wall of all these freaking weapons, like anything he wants. And like, I think all he asks is for that shotgun and that knife. He just took two things. He could have taken anything he wanted. He goes out to the wilderness and then all of a sudden he finds this damn Bigfoot within like seconds. So
He's a good hunter then? You could definitely like hunt and gather for
you. Yeah, I mean, if he can find a Bigfoot, we can find a damn, you know, freaking boar and kill that bitch and we'll be eating in no time.
I guess, you know what? You've talked me into it. My initial instinct told me 100% that if Danny Trejo got to this question, I wasn't trying to figure it out, but I was like, yeah, if Danny Trejo gets here, he's my winner. I think, considering we don't know a lot about Sam Elliott's character in The Big Lebowski, it's possible it's possible that between the Big Lebowski, maybe he was killing Hitler.
Yeah.
And the Bigfoot could be the before
same,
he gets
it
there.
It could be a connected universe. Maybe that's the same guy. He was just called a stranger. We didn't know his name.
Yeah, we didn't know what the guy did. No. So if you can write your own backstory, which we do quite often on this show, I'm not against merging those two universes together. And that's why he's so calm. He has such a calm demeanor in the Big Lebowski. He killed Hitler and the Bigfoot, for Christ's sake. So we know he's badass. And maybe he just likes wearing Western outfits. For all we know, maybe he was never even a cowboy. Maybe that's just his style now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I honestly think he would be very comfortable in his own skin. And, yeah, you know, it would just be kind of like, hey, let's go find some loincloths. Let's just make a day out of this.
Okay. Yeah. I think you've talked me into it. So you did something most people don't. I'm changing my answer.
Da-da-da!
I am going to agree with you 100%. Or at least I'm going to agree with you about 75%. 25% of me can't let Danny Trejo go, but it's still enough that I'm going to agree with you. And I'm going to let Sam Elliott advance over Danny Trejo as far as who you'd rather be on Naked and Afraid with. So the second to last question will be better local television personality. Would it be Ned Flanders from The Simpsons, or would it be Charles Bronson from Death Wish?
You want to go first?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say, for starters, Ned Flanders is so likable. I think he would probably be either a weathercaster, mm-hmm, or he would be very much the coffee time guy that he wears the sweater. He's calming. He's soothing. I just think that he would be a very likable figure. Charles Bronson, he's got the squinty eye thing going. His mustache is... Where Ned Flanders' mustache feels friendly, I think that Charles Bronson's mustache feels a little attacky. I feel like he's a little angry and aggressive with his facial hair, whereas Ned leans into the bushy, I'm going to, you know, keep a party up here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Charles Bronson was well-spoken, obviously, in Death Wish, but that was more of a 70s, 80s style by the 90s. He may be calming and soothing in the movie sometimes, but my instinct tells me that Ned would be... Over a long period of time, Ned would be a more likable newscaster. And plus, we do know that Charles Bronson's character has some angst. So what if he's on a show with somebody that he knows is a known felon, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to have to take a five here. And then he goes down and kills him in the parking lot and comes down with blood all over his shirt. I'm just not sure that he could stop himself, where I think that Ned Flanders doesn't hate anybody. He's a man of the people, and I just think he's soothing. So I would go with Ned Flanders.
Okay, Ned Flanders. I'm kind of torn. I agree with your Ned Flanders. I could imagine. I think Ned Flanders would be much more universally liked. I think he would be good on a sort of morning coffee type show, like a Good Day LA type show, where he's just talking about whatever he wants to talk about.
That's great.
and I think people would really enjoy that. He has that sort of Boy Scout leader person. I don't know, I wasn't a Boy Scout, so whatever you call the guys that are in charge of the Boy Scouts, like, he has that vibe, you know, and I think people would like it.
You call those guys perverts.
Yes, that's got to be what it is. Don't go to the basement, kids. So
that's right. Actually, they're called troop leaders, if people must know, because I was a Boy Scout and I was never accosted in said or Cub Scouts. I never made it to the Boy Scouts because I'm just not that disciplined, I suppose.
Yeah, who cares?
I don't know how to tie a rope or a knot or anything. So anyway,
we probably wouldn't get along as much if you were that dedicated to Boy Scouts. So I think Flanders would be very universally liked. But you know what? You know, doing the whole backstory thing, I think Bronson would be the much more entertaining type reporter. I think if you think about it, if he was a reporter instead of an architect, it would be so interesting for him to go out at night and he sees these guys that are going to try to, like, you know, rape a woman or trying to rob a woman. He freaking kills them. They're like, what are you doing here? And he's just like, death. And he kills them.
He's like, I don't remember his name in the movie, but I'm just going to use his name. He's like, oh my God, it's Charles Bronson from Action 11 News.
Yeah, they would be Paul Kersey. Paul Kersey is
it? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so right before he kills anyone, they go, oh my God, it's Paul Kersey from Action 4
and
News.
So I think it would be really awesome. Then the next morning, he's at his own death scene. Like, he's at the crime, and he's like, I'm here with these criminals who were obviously justifiably killed.
So he's got this little smug Charles Bronson half smile where you know something's going on under the surface, but you can't really prove it. And everybody watching is like, he killed that motherfucker.
Yeah, and for some reason he knows what happened. It looks like this guy ran that way and that guy ran this way, and the killer must have shot them both with a grenade launcher.
And the first one he missed, so he had to track him down in the alley like a dog. And he took a knife to his throat and left his throat and his innards spread all over the alleyway for the rats to eat on.
He would be good for those dark, serious cover stories, you know? Like, he would be your more classic Walter Cronkite. Concrete.
Yeah, Walter Concrete sounds like a guy that's like a local guy trying to sell you, like, you know, foundation or something. He's like, come get your foundation fixed at Walter Concrete.
Come on down to Walter Concrete.
What do I have? I have cinder blocks.
Need to bury a body? Come on down to Walter Concrete. But yeah, so I think the larger percentage of me would have to go Ned Flanders just because of the universal aspect of his personality. But I would have loved to see Charles Bronson being a reporter.
Yeah, I think the trick to this question, I'm still going to agree with you on Ned Flanders. So you almost swayed me to Charles Bronson, but I'm still going with Ned Flanders as well. And the reason being is it's a local personality. I think if it were a national personality, Charles Bronson would definitely be on the national news reporting these crazy deaths in the streets. Yeah. And it would be insane to see that guy's intensity. Yeah. But yeah, Ned Flanders, he's happy-go-lucky, oakley-dokley. Yeah. He's going to be more likable over a long period of time, except to Homer.
That's true.
So with that said, I think Ned Flanders is going to advance to the next round against Sam Elliott, of all people.
Who would have thought?
I would never have put these two together. Sam Elliott from not only The Big Lebowski, but also The Man Who Killed Hitler.
And then
Bigfoot. The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot. So make sure I get the words right here. But so our last question to pit these two against each other will be, better drag queen keeping the mustache on?
Oof, man, that is a tough one. Because, you know, you got Sam Elliott, who's sort of a tall drink of water. The guy's got some height on him. You know, he's got nice, like, slender type build.
Yeah.
I feel like he would look pretty decent in the right kind of outfit, you know, if he's wearing, like, a long dress or something. He has a very powerful mustache, but so does Ned Flanders. They both have pretty prominent mustaches. It's not like something that can kind of blend in with makeup or something. So it's going to be out there ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
He has a good strut too. I've seen him walk around. He's got a good solid strut, but it is incredibly masculine. So I don't know how good of a drag queen he would be, but I think he would be absolutely captivating. Like, you wouldn't be able to keep your eyes. You'd be like, whoa, like that is an insane, very interesting looking drag queen. You know, you wouldn't be able to look away. Flanders, on the other hand, like we mentioned before, little effeminate, you know, he's very comfortable in his own skin. There's even that one scene in The Simpsons where he's in like tight ski things and he's like kind of moving his butt, like jiggling it. So, you know, Flanders got some junk in the trunk, you know, he got some cake. So I feel like he could fill out a pretty nice drag queen outfit much better. I don't know about the face, but I think both of them in the face area were screwed. You know, we can't do too much there. So I got to go Sam Elliott, man. I got to go Sam Elliott. I just feel like he would carry it so well. Cause you know, Ned Flanders is a very conservative guy. He would scoff at this concept. He would scoff at it. And, you know, screw him for that, because he's missing out on a whole other world of awesomeness. And he could have possibly had a good chance. But you know what? Sam Elliott wouldn't scoff at it. He would be open-minded enough to give it a try, strut his stuff out there, 100% dedicated to it, and he would do it. He would win.
Yeah, I'll try to defend Ned Flanders and say you're 100% right about – I think that if Ned leaned into it, I think Ned would be fabulous. Because Ned definitely has that saunter that you might see from a female standpoint. And Sam Elliott, as you pointed out, straight up alpha male. Totally just – he's all business. Yeah. That said, Ned would never do that. Ned would be uncomfortable in his own skin. First off, he would never do it. Secondly, if he did do it, he would be uncomfortable the entire time. And the thing about being a drag queen is it's all about confidence. Every bit of it. Look at RuPaul. There's probably not a more confident man in America than RuPaul. That guy owns every bit of that stage presence. Yeah. And he's awesome.
Totally.
I think Sam Elliott, like you said, I don't think he gives a shit what people think. He's like, I am Sam Elliott. I'm going to do this because I'm Sam Elliott. And it would be hard to argue with that. As well as high heels, he's going to look better. I bet she's got better legs. He's probably got a nicer stride. You can add some top heaviness to fill him out. But I think he would fill out a dress pretty well. Whereas I think Ned would have that extra layer. He would have the spare bag. Whereas Sam Elliott, you could really fill him into a dress and make it work. And then if you want to, you know, you put him, take his big hat off and put like a little bitty hat on him.
Oh, yeah.
And make it kind of, you still get the Sam Elliott vibe, but you get it from a more feminine aspect. So I really do think that, I think I'm going to agree with you that Sam Elliott would, I think your chances are better to get a good drag queen out of Sam Elliott's character in The Big Lebowski or in the Hitler Bigfoot movie that I'm not even going to ruin the name on again. I think he's just bad news, man. Anything that guy does, he's going to be good on Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
We don't know a lot about his personality anyway, but the thing we do know about Sam Elliott is he's badass.
Yes.
And the guy is going to do whatever he does very well. So yeah. I agree 100%. So I think Sam Elliott makes a better drag queen.
Yes, sir. I think his charm is undeniable. And it's not like, I think it's the fact that it never seems like he's really trying to impress anyone. He's simply who he is. And that's the way he's going to be. That's the way he's going to carry himself. You either like it or you don't. And it's just a simple matter of fact that everyone likes it. So I have to give it to Sam Elliott for sure.
Yeah. And can you think of the smooth pillow talk though? Like, I'm not even do the Sam Elliott, but I mean, Flanders would be like, Oakley dokley, you know, but when you hear Sam Elliott speak, you're going to be like, man or woman, that is just sexy as shit.
Yeah, I'm just, totally agree.
It just instantly turns you on. Totally so agree. Every bit of Sam Elliott's character for everything is going to defeat Ned Flanders.
Yes, sir.
Except for maybe the feminine saunter. But outside of that, I think that Sam Elliott definitely wins this. So I think we have come to a conclusion for this Whack Brackets contest. And surprisingly, a character that bang bang, yeah, he was doing some old Yosemite Sam like air guns over there. I'm not sure he was highfalutin and doing all this stuff. I don't really. It's a shame we're not live streaming this, but probably. So with all that said, I think Sam Elliott's character from The Big Lebowski, with no backstory at all, wins this white bracket somehow in some way. But that's Sam Elliott in a nutshell. He's inexplicably awesome, and he's going to win just about anything that he faces.
He just sauntered his way up to the championship.
He sashayed his way up onto the championship.
Nice.
So I think I'm done for the day. Yeah. So with that said, as far as the coolest mustachioed actor, I suppose, is what we should call this. I don't even have an official name for it. I think Sam Elliott takes the cake.
Yes, sir.
And with that said, I want to thank Daniel a lot from, again, the Mustachioed Podcastio. Yes, and I will let you speak about your podcast a little more, and then we'll close out after that.
Yeah, definitely. So, the Mustachioed Podcastio, I try to release episodes every Monday. So this next episode, I'm going to be covering Vincent Price's The Last Man on Earth. It's a movie that isn't always talked about. I had never personally seen it either, just like kind of knew about it, seen some clips. So I'm really looking forward to talking about it. And I'm going to have a guest on. It's actually my girlfriend that puts up with me every single day. And it's really fun having her on. I think y'all are going to love it. It's going to be interesting to see what she thought about the movie. So I'm going to be doing that. But yeah, every Monday, check us out. I have an Instagram at Mustachioed Podcastio. And I spell Mustachioed MOUST. So just keep that in mind. It's kind of hard to find my podcast. If you spell it any other way, it won't pop up. And also on Twitter, I'm at M Podcastio, and I'm always posting. I try to let everyone know what kind of movie I'm going to cover, or what movie I might cover the next week, so that way you can check it out and then tune in and listen to what I got to say about it. It's usually just a bunch of random ideas and stupid jokes, but I'm sure you'll love it. And also, I tend to guest on another podcast called The Grind Bin Podcast. They're super, super fun. They go a lot, like way more in depth in the movies. They go into the actors and the movies that they've been in. They go into the directors. They go into sometimes even like the film distributor and all that good stuff. It's super, super fun. And I found that those guys a long time ago, and they let me come on every now and then and do my thing. So yeah, the Grindbin Podcast, they cover exploitation and grindhouse movies from like the 60s all the way to like the early 90s. So definitely check them out too.
Only a deviant doesn't spell mustache without the OU. If you're spelling mustache the lazy way, I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want to live in that world. So yeah, as far as having your girlfriend on, I had my wife on the first several episodes of Whack Brackets, nice. So I should not surprise anyone, as well as both of my daughters. So,
that's cool. And
I, one of them, my stepdaughter, I'm a better stepdad than Charles Bronson would ever be. I still stand by that statement.
I'll give you that.
That's it. If you want to check Whack Brackets out on social media, I'm at Whack Brackets just about anywhere. I don't think anyone else wants that name, so I was able to find it on all social media platforms. It is on the Instagrams. It is on the Twitters. I'm on both of those. It is on the Facebooks. I don't get on the Facebooks, but sporadically I get on there. So if you leave me a message, I'll get it. If you have a podcast or you're a social media influencer, even if you're just interesting and you want to be on here, let me know, and I'll probably let you on. I'll let only cool people on. So if you're not cool, then I'm going to ignore you. But if you're cool, like Daniel, you win. And you could be on the podcast most likely as well. That said, oh yeah, and I want to thank everybody who does subscribe to me now. I guess I shouldn't just be pimping for new users. I need to thank everybody out there. Agree with Daniel and I, disagree. We'll listen to whatever your opinion is, and we'll probably still stand by our decisions,
probably.
But we want to hear it because we're probably, you know, I'm easy to persuade sometimes, so maybe I won't. Maybe I'll have to get Daniel on again soon and re-record the same episode because I've changed my mind on all of them. So if you want to do that, reach out to me on any of those. If you have ideas, remarks, whatever, I'll listen to it even if you hate me. I have a lot of people that hate me. Most of them are my family. But with that said, I want to thank Daniel again, and I am going to say I'm out of here, so I'll let Daniel close us out and say see ya.
Thank you so much for bringing me on the show. Have a good rest of your whatever day it is. Bye.